Yo, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. Today we're going to talk about football, really throwing in on the football, automotive throwing in on football ads, Rivian's lobbying journey, and Kyle has a hat on that isn't flat. The people really want to know. Kyle showed up on the live stream this morning. I was like, who's this? Who got access to the stream?
Sent the wrong link to the wrong guy.
Kyle, tell the people where you're at. If you're listening in, only, Kyle might sound the same, but he looks different and he's like, right. He's got a background and all.
I am in beautiful, gorgeous Cumming, Georgia this morning on a golf course behind me. The Polo Golf Course and Polo Club and Golf Course. It is absolutely beautiful out here with our good friend, investor, just general incredible human, Patrick Abad, and his team with Beaver Toyota. They are raising funds for some really incredible local charities that support kids. And this place, I'm telling you what, if you've not been to Beaver Toyota, the actual store with a cafe and a nail salon and everything like that, you have to know that Beaver Toyota only does things one way, and that's full throttle. And they've done it
again. They've translated that to the golf charity
to the tournament. Golf course. Yeah. So I've got my golf hat on. I've got a quarter zip because it's a little brisk out here, at least for us Southerners. It's only 63. And just really excited to kind of have a day and experience this and ride alongside these guys because they're transforming communities. Just like many auto dealers. So I can't wait to story it up. It's going to be great.
That's amazing. Actually, it's warmer in Syracuse than it is in Cumming, Georgia today.
That's nuts.
So just checked. 69 degrees to date. Or at least right now.
We'll get 91 today.
We definitely won't. We'll get 75, right? That's it. We're at 75 for a high today. But obviously, the world is spinning. A lot of things going on. Football is back. Like, if you don't really, yeah. I mean, I know it started last weekend, but we were at a SotoCon. So, like, although, you know, we were walking around and we saw the screens where football was being played, like, I missed week one all in all.
Had no clue. Yes.
Exactly. I know the Eagles had a win. I got to see, like, three plays while I was picking up food.
Yeah. So, yesterday was really fun because I get the reminder text. I do a little fantasy football. And I get the reminder text and it's like, there's like a billion injuries from week one.
Oh, so right. I know Dak Prescott, right? He's the only one I knew that got hurt real bad.
Yeah, which is my quarterback.
Oh, is he really?
Sorry. I was like, swap that out. Done.
So sorry. I say that.
It is back in full swing. And I'm telling you what, just watching, you know, you think about like, When you start to have your brand hat on a lot, mm-hmm. you start looking at everything across the way content's created, commercials. You mm-hmm. think about, like, I even think, you know, we were running last week with a SotoCon and watching our team take the morning footage and pop it out the night before. And just the efficiency that sports casting has to go like, that play just happened, and then we ran it back slow mo, you know, from 18 different angles.
And then when you come back from commercial break, it's part of a stinger reel, right?
Full, with like some stinger,
some crazy music playing, right? And you're seeing all the hits. Yeah, I guess we could learn a thing or two. I guess it was kind of feel a little bit like the NFL. Well, today we're talking about football in the beginning because football. Automotive ads are back in full force. Spending jumped 260% week over week, according to iSpot.tv data. That's from $6.6 million to $23.8 million spent by automotive OEMs, and 75% of that was allocated to the NFL. The other 25% was allocated to college. And check this out. I think I saw a stat that was like 75% of all live TV watching over the weekend was football.
That is nuts.
I believe it though. What else are you gonna watch? 5%.
What else? I mean, well, and not just that, but a lot of it is still like most people don't stream NFL these days because it's like a ticket package or something.
Because it's terrible.
Like that.
So, because DirecTV is terrible.
Exactly. So they're still that's linear. So if you think about it, like the TV watching, but I'm guessing even the general TV watching, there's just not live. Much to watch on the weekends. No. You know, it's live. It's there's not
first
much
week
to
of September,
watch.
Second I week it. September. I agree. And so, but either way, all eyes are on football, and therefore a lot of auto advertisers trying to take a couple different directions on on how they're going to like portray or trying to promote impressions and brand impression throughout this time. So we are going to roll three commercials. We've never done this before. We're going to roll three commercials. We're going to roll one from Honda, one from Nissan, and one from Hyundai. And so Honda and Nissan grabbed the number one and two spots by spending the most money. Honda dropped $8.1 million. That's a lot of money. That's getting close to Super Bowl money. You know what I mean?
That's unbelievable.
I mean, granted, these commercials have been everywhere. If
75% of the attention is there, then why not go where the attention is?
I mean, right? It's kind of good timing for Honda, right? Like we saw in the news that they kind of got dinged by dealers as one of the lowest kind of brand. I don't remember what the survey was, but they were kind of at the bottom. So it's kind of nice that they have a big spend coming up. If you're a Honda dealer, you know you're feeling good seeing your brand out there on there. So, Isaac, why don't you pull up the Honda commercial? This is a 30-second commercial.
Motorized and, bicycle company.
Here it is.
They said, you'll never be more than that. What will they say next?
All right, so Honda, what you saw... Honda, the power of dreams. If you're just listening, what you saw was the fact that Honda started as a motorized bicycle company. Then obviously they're showing motorcycles, and then they're showing cars, and they're showing off-road, and they're showing boats. And they say, what will people dream of next? And then it's actually like a quadcopter mobile transport flying through a city. Okay, so we see what you're doing, Honda, talking a little legacy. Right? Because obviously the next step, you know, they go all like quadcopter, but obviously EVs and the big transition. So a big brand play, right? Nothing about a specific product or anything. Go brand. Let's see what Nissan did. So this one is called 60. Well, Honda's is called Forever Determined. Nissan's is called 60 Years in 30 Seconds. Roll the tape, Isaac.
It took a while to get up here. We started out around 1959.
That's Captain Marvel, by the way.
Then we took a hard left in East Africa. A right at Baja. A 180 in the empty quarter. And that 65-degree incline at Hell's Revenge. But we didn't do all that just to get here. We did it to give you a truck that'll take you anywhere. This is the new Nissan.
All right, so I can't
remember. All right, we're seeing a theme.
What?
Yeah. I think we're seeing a theme.
This was a big theme. Well, the third one's going to punch you in the face after this, but I can't remember her name, but I just remember her as Captain Marvel. So obviously they got some star power behind the wheel, and she was driving all the different vehicles as they're going through again.
Through the years.
The old stuff into the new stuff, into the off-road, into, you know, and it ends with, I think it was a Pathfinder. Was that a Pathfinder? Up on top of the mountain, right? What we think of next, right? Brie Larson. Thank you so much, Nathan. I appreciate that. Okay, so that is Hyundai's now. I mean, that is Nissan's. Hyundai's now is called Chewy. And this one's probably going to need a little more description after the commercial because there's less, you know, it describes less of what's going on. But just if you're just listening to the podcast, just be absorbed in the moment and know that it involves a puppy that gets older. All right, go ahead, roll it.
Maybe we could go to Grandma's house after this, you know?
It's a puppy! Can we keep him, please?
No.
So the dad's out. He's like, I'm not keeping the puppy.
But the dog's in the car now. Mile 4,095, it says.
Oh, you got a six, okay. Oh, no. Go, go, go.
Puppy runs into tent, shakes off.
This is true football.
Hi, really
commentating the video.
Dad's getting home now. Dog is waiting for him when he gets home. We're at like mile 20,000.
Oh, hey. Eyes.
What you got there? All right, go get it.
Dog is now grown up at mile 62,000, playing with dad on the beach.
I'm your buddy. Ready? Go.
Dibs. I got it. No, you.
We're at mile 75,000 now. The kids go to get in the car, and the dog is in the front seat.
With the sweater matching.
When it comes to lasting relationships, we're thinking of every mile. The new Hyundai Tucson. It's your journey.
The sweater, though, is what
I missed that altogether.
Did you miss it?
I missed the sweater part. So basically what you have is a 60-second journey of can we get the dog that is like, heck no. Dog's in the car. As the miles on the vehicle are going, right, the dad's getting more and more connected to dogs, ingratiating himself till at the end where, like, the kids are older and the dog is now in the prime spot, right? I didn't realize the first time through it's a Tucson commercial. So it actually is a product commercial. Not a brand commercial.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
And so,
I
mean, That one was like the fan favorite, big surprise, right?
Yeah, I mean, all the feels, but all three of them are doing this like legacy emotion, right? That's the it seems like all three of these car commercials have said, here's the legacy, here's the walkthrough, here there's a timeline, there's a journey that then ends somewhere. And so I think you're seeing that as the storyboard for a lot of OEMs right now. I've seen that across a bunch of OEMs that it is going less product focus and all of the focus. Actually, it's interesting because I mean, I'm a Mazda guy, but you go back like 4 or 5 years and actually Mazda was an early like legacy through the years car commercial. So you see that storyboard coming through. You know, BMW's done a lot of that in the past. Interesting to see that as the theme for all three of these.
It is, and we thought it was a lot of fun, to a good way to get us into Monday, because the next one's not going to be so fun loving.
This one has a lot of scratches.
Speaking of brand adoption,
stop. Segway time.
So a good friend of ours shot this article over to me yesterday and said, "Yeah, read the article, but please read the comments." So here we go. We're going to get into this a little bit. So this is a Wall Street Journal article. So I want you to contextualize the audience, right? This isn't a random Reddit thread with anonymous commenters, right? This is the Wall Street Journal audience. So you think business folks, entrepreneurs, kind of the mid to upper income, right? You pay for a subscription. It's owned by Dow Jones. So I just want to give you that as context. This is a long form article. We linked it up in the show notes. It's worth reading. Really is worth reading the entire Absolutely article. Is. It's very long. It's a long one, but read the comments. So here it is. The chief lobbyist at Rivian, his name is Jim Chen. He's a former Tesla executive. He wears cowboy boots and he's making it his mission to end the traditional model of selling cars. It is a fascinating story. What he would describe as himself as a wonky lawyer who produces evidence for his views and talks a lot about free market principles. He worked for the EPA and he actually helped Tesla fix some like tax incentive like mess ups that were happening there. Ended up getting hired by Tesla, got burned out after a few years at Tesla. He was on the road 50 weeks a year. Actually, Kyle, he actually said when he knew he had to go is because his dog died, trailing on the dogs from the left. His dog died because he didn't have time to take it to the vet.
Oh my goodness. Allie. Yeah, you got to be done at that point.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's putting in some work.
It is. That's some work. His father served in the Taiwanese Navy, and he also cites not letting China get the advantage on this new emerging EV technology as one of his primary motivators. So he's got
a little chip on his shoulder.
Some deep passion. Go. I like the fact that he wears the cowboy boots because, it might as well be a flat brim hat.
Yeah, the picture. Do we have the picture of him? If we don't have the picture, I love it.
We
got to get the picture of him up. Yeah.
It's good. So basically, this is a story of him and kind of it's a good story about like the history of the franchise model, kind of the history of trying to get, the direct-to-consumer model adopted through the states. It tells a little Tesla story. And what it does highlight is that he's saying the local dealer network at the state level is kind of the last holdout for the reason there can't be mass influx of direct consumer, right? He talks about, the reasons Ford and the other traditional OEMs would want it to happen and how Ford tried in the past, it didn't work. I actually cited a couple people that we were spent some time with earlier in the year. Both Don Hall and Mike Stanton are cited in the article right next to each other. I'll read this quote, Kyle, and then we'll move on and we'll start talking about the comments and stuff. So here's Don Hall. When you have one person who controls all the marbles, you get marbles when they want to give it to you. So obviously his position, why the direct-to-consumer model and giving the OEMs all the distribution power and sales power would not be good for the consumer. Mike Stanton, who we all know, president of NADA, said there are rules in place for a reason.
Okay.
There's a lot to unpack. There's the picture.
There's the picture in the back of a truck. I love it. It's great. But there's a lot to unpack, and I try and look at this from both sides, because obviously being on the dealer side, a pro dealer person, and also understanding the consumer, you look at both sides, and there are so many benefits on both sides, and the problem is that typically the way that we communicate is in a very adversarial way, right? And so I love Don and I love Mike here, but saying like there are rules in place for a reason, or these people control all the marbles, is an adversarial approach to why the dealer network is so good. And I think if we positioned it much more of a consumer centric, like that it actually cares for the customer, that the comments in that we're about to read may not come so harshly. I don't know.
It seems like
our mode of communication is just adversarial instead of like, hey, we realize we've messed up. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not all the communication there was, but I would agree with you that the position usually taken is like wartime language, right?
Right.
It's wartime language, and wartime language doesn't tend to communicate any empathy, right? It communicates ultimatums and facts, right? Facts are good, but when you're communicating with the consumer, you need facts, but you need to lead and bathe that sucker in empathy and an understanding so that you open the ears and eyes and hearts of people to be able to willing to even listen. Because when you draw a line in the sand, and I know like we're fighting for our lives here, so there's an important element, and we just want to encourage, like, we need to win the hearts of the consumers back, right? And there are a lot of people, like you're sitting right now in the midst of a big Beaver Toyota charity golf event, major part of the community. Like, you have hearts, minds, right? They're all there. Right. And that story needs to be told there, because those are the folks, the consumers are the ones we need to step up for us. Right. Because laws are made by legislators. Legislators are voted in by people, and then people vote with their emotions and their hearts, and they're not always their heads. You know what I mean? So we're going to read some comments from this Wall Street Journal article, and then we'll just throw out a little commentary. And then Kyle's got a tea time. I don't know what your tea time is. You have tea time?
Real soon.
Okay. Okay.
It's 10 o'clock and I got to get registered, and they say it takes 15 minutes. So let's roll.
Okay. Dealers and state lawmakers, here's comment number one, who oppose Mr. Chen's efforts, say that independent dealerships play a critical role in the car buying processes, helping to complete competition between franchises that ultimately keeps prices available. They argue dealers also provide important services such as repair and warranty work and arrange financing for buyers at competitive rates. We've heard all of those arguments put forward by dealers. And he says, how can these arguments be proffered with a straight face? Do they really think we're gullible to believe that online sales would enhance competition by letting customers shop around, or would not enhance competition? He said, ask anyone who has a brain if they'd rather be able to avoid trips to a showroom, and also if they think they'd get better financing deals online. Ridiculously anti-consumer. There's one. Here's another one. Auto dealers have been a fixture of American life since the early part of the 20th century. He's repeating what's in the article. Independent dealers did the hard work and expensive work of finding customers, advertising in specific markets, and servicing. We fully agree with that. That was a lot of hard work. They're the reason there is wide automotive adoption in the U.S. And he said, that's the same argument the Weavers Guild made centuries ago when the loom was invented. Give me a break.
Brother dropped the mic and walked out. That's cold blooded.
Golly.
But seriously, like, we can't just say because it's always been there, it has to be there.
That doesn't work.
There has to be a better story.
Because
you
I said
to tell a better story.
Exactly. Let's go with one more. A couple people stepped up. One person said buying a car without trying it first or driving it first is ridiculous, obviously advocating for an in-person experience. And one other person says, I think most of us could agree that buying a car is one of the most painful aspects of daily life. The games dealers play by putting a salesperson in front of you as a puppet or mouthpiece for the sales manager is silly at best. If you want to pay cash and don't have a trade-in, you lose because the sales team has no leverage. And another comment said car manufacturers want to eliminate the dealers because that eliminates the middleman and increases their margin. So a full range of real talk in these comments section.
It's a bunch of real, we always know that the negative comments and threads, I don't care if it's Reddit or the Wall Street Journal, always rise to the top. But we have to be cognizant of the fact that this is the prevailing narrative in our culture, and crafting a better story that isn't filled with legacy mindsets or we've always done it this way and the rules are in place so the rules can happen. We have to tell a better story that's consumer centric, that understands the needs of the consumer, drives them to online purchasing like they're asking for, and creates a narrative that they desire. And that's the wave of communication that every dealer, every state organization, the NADA, doesn't matter what organization, has to enter into. We have to just tell a better story, not state the facts.
Yeah, so we're not reading these things to you this morning to bum you out, right? We're saying, like, this is out there. We are compelling you, the Esotu community, the Esotuverse. We just spent time together understanding and believing in what this can be. And we need to work. And now, like, the hard work was a distribution network and real estate and all that stuff. The new hard work is communication and compelling hearts and minds. Kyle's got a tea time to get to. You have a lot of hearts and minds to compel. We're going to start doing it with you today. Go out there, compel a heart, compel a mind. Tell us what happened. We'll post it here on the show.